If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 5. We've been doing a series, and this is our key verse for this series. We're drawing out of this one verse three truths, three secrets to winning in the battles of life. Because battles of life are something that happen for everybody. Jesus was not quiet about that. He said, in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulations, but he didn't warn us and leave us. Can I get an amen to that? Let me say it again. He didn't warn us and then leave us. Can I get a better amen? All right. He warned us, but he also gave us the solution. And he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. So within the context of the Lord, who he is, and which is expressed also through his word, for John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Within the context of that, we can find the truths of victory no matter what the battle. Say, no matter what the battle. Say, no matter what the battle. Come on, say, no matter what the battle. Do you realize there's not a battle you will face that catches God off guard? There is not a battle you will see that God said, man, I didn't know that was coming down. He knows everything, the Bible tells us. He sees equally the end from the beginning. So God is aware of everything before you step into the next day, the next moment, the next hour, the next minute, the next second. He sees it all. You say, well, why doesn't he give me victory? He has given us the victory. We have to learn to apply the victory in a way that allows us to operate and live what belongs to us, the right to us as children of God. Those who are born of God overcome the world. Those who are born of God overcome the world. Those who are born of God overcome the world. If you're a child of God, son and daughter of God, your DNA, spiritual genetics is to win. Yes. Look to your neighbor and say, you're a winner. But today, as we dig deeper into this, the problem that happens in the church world is we will stop with a positive influence. We'll tell somebody, you're a winner, you're the head and not the tail. You're above always and never to be beneath. And we leave them there wanting to hear more, excited emotionally, and yet no substance behind it. And the moment they walk away from the moment, they begin to experience the reality of the battle at hand. And then they find themselves getting their teeth knocked out, and then they come back into the house of God to be pumped up emotionally again. And the job of the church and the pastor is not to pump you up emotionally so you get beat up in the world. It's to build you up in strength and wisdom and anointing and power. So the moment you walk out into the world, you are not there as a victim. You are there as more than a conqueror, an overcomer, an achiever, a light, a city on a hill that cannot be denied. I want to talk to people who are tired of just saying, I've listened to it, but I've never seen it. It's one thing. Jesus said, you will know them by the fruit. But if you never taste the fruit, how do you know what they are? And too many Christians talk about what they are by the PR that they've created themselves. And they have ignored the reality that God is more than you just saying it. You must show it. The Bible says, taste and see and know that God is good. We have to move beyond a lot of stuff that we have come out of, even in the church world and in the secular world, and begin to say, wait a minute, if this Jesus is true, then he can heal me. Because he says, by his stripes, I am healed. I'm a firm believer that you can be healed. I'm a firm believer that you can be delivered. I'm a firm believer, just like Martin Luther King said many years ago, it was a spiritual principle from the word of God that says you can be free. Jesus said this way, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But too many times in the church world, we dangle freedom, we dangle victory like a bait, enticing people, and it almost becomes a manipulative thing where men and women of God who are sincere in their heart but sometimes wrong in their methods, and they dangle this in front of people to get them to do what they want them to do, and people will follow it. Oh, I want that, and they'll follow it. Oh, I want that, and they'll follow it. And years go by, and some people start saying, wait a minute, I've been following this, and nothing's happened. If nothing's happening, something's wrong. If you're a tither and a giver correctly and you still make the same amount of money, something's wrong in the system. But don't blame the Bible. Don't blame God. Be open to say, wait a minute, because I'm telling you, the word works. If you're a tither, you're in covenant. If you're a giver, you have a return. If you give alms, you'll have an increase. But most people don't want to know the process. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. What are those things? The things that the world wants. The goal is not to dangle just to get you to jump through a hoop. God doesn't do that.
Right.
He informs and he transforms so that you can bring his kingdom, his will on this earth.
Amen?
Amen. So we got to move past a lot of this stuff. Most people think they had good church if they clapped and felt good that day emotionally, and then they got to get back to the real world. Since when, who told you that the real world is the real world? I'm about to give you the color pill that's going to wake you up to reality that you are more than enough. Come on, Matrix fans. Some of them know what I'm talking about. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever or whosoever, King James translation, whosoever is what? Born of God. Three keys to winning the fight. Because fight comes to all of us. You can choose to be a victim. You could choose to spend your life crying about what someone's done to you. Or you could choose to come out ahead. Because anybody who understands warfare understands you fight to win. And you fight and expect to plunder. Lester Sumrall used to say it this way. Never charge a giant that does not have milk and honey. Some of us fight battles that we were never called to fight. You don't need to. There's some surface. See, what the devil will do is try to distract you with surface stuff, emotional stuff, and get you distracted to the real fight. But when it's a fight that you're supposed to fight, it will have milk and honey. It will have, which means the promises of the covenant, the things that God's promised you. Some of we think we're winning because we just were able to out-argue somebody who was rude, and we put them in their place, and they won't cut me off again as you. Why are you fighting that fight? There's no win to that. All right, three keys. Are you with me this morning? For whosoever is born of God, that's the perspective. We talked about that. To win, you have to have the right perspective. If you see yourself as a loser, you'll never win in the battles of life. If you see yourself as the condition, the storyline, the narrative, if you will, of what the enemy's presenting, you'll never achieve what God's called you to step into. We see that being played out with Gideon, who saw himself the least and the weakest in his family, who was the weakest of the tribe. But God had to change his perspective to get him to realize that his destiny wasn't weakness. His destiny was to be a mighty, valiant warrior. We see in Abraham, who when God showed up in Genesis and said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, what is that to me given or seen? One translation says, seen I go childless. God had to begin to change his image of who he was. That's why Romans 12 tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because if you see yourself as sick, I'm not saying that the doctor doesn't say you're sick. This is not mind over matter. This is eternal over temporary. You might be dealing with sickness today, but that doesn't mean you have to be sick for the rest of your life. You might be struggling with money in your account today, but that doesn't mean you have to walk around starting to think. There's a stigma. There's a mindset. There's a mindset. There's a mindset. God had to deal with Israel that way. He got them out of slavery, and it was one thing to get Israel out of Egypt. It was another thing to get Egypt out of Israel. Because they kept thinking that where they had come from. And God said, that's not where you can't think that way and make it. You can't talk and act and talk cheap and think you're going to be blessed. I'm not saying be frivolous with money. That's foolishness.
Right.
If there's something you want, you look and the price is too high, don't say you can't afford it.
Right.
Say, I'm not going to spend money on this. You could get, you know what? One of the things that dealing with missions and people in third world countries, here's a common thing that they believe about Americans, and it really is true. And so that's, in most of the countries of the world, if they can get it from you, they feel like they've earned it, okay? Because they believe, push comes to shove, that if you really need it, you can find a way to get it. In their world, there are just literally limited resources. So even if they wanted it and tried it, they can't get it. But you can find somebody, call somebody, do somebody, get a credit card, get a loan. Do you see the point? And so you've got to learn to not allow the enemy to create a perspective of who you are. The prodigal son who came to himself. It wasn't the problem that caused him to wake up. It wasn't the feeding the pigs or his hunger pains that caused him to wake up. It was when he remembered who he was in relationship to his father. He came to himself. He came back to the identity of who he was designed to be. And we do that, with this quick review, we do that by getting our eyes, listen to me, child of God. We do that by getting our eyes, listen to me. We do that by getting our eyes off ourselves. I see too many people trying to pray, trying to operate in faith, and all they're doing is looking to themselves. It's all about themselves. They only talk about themselves and their problem. You poke them, you talk to them, you call them, you bump into them, and guess what it is? It's about their problem. It's about their problem. They're trying to talk in faith, but they're still seeing failure. They're still seeing defeat. And as long as you're talking about yourself, see, the key is to get your eyes onto Jesus, looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Set your affection, your focus on things above, not the things on the earth. Which means we have to begin to look to the Word. James was very specific. When you study the Word, you get a reflection of who you are. Amen. And then if you don't obey, you forget what manner of man you are. Yep. Say perspective. For whosoever is born of God, perspective overcomes the world. That's the power. There's something you have to do because James says faith without works is what? You guys are amazing today. I'm telling you. You had your coffee. You prayed up. You got your devotion. I don't know what you did, but whatever you did, do it next week. You don't do it next week. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works, another translation is faith without works produces no change. God wants you to be able to produce change in your world. Whosoever is born of God, perspective, overcomes the world. It's the power. The second key was we need God's power, the right power. Not just our power. You have to do something. But not by might, not by power or physical ability, but by the Spirit. We cannot ignore, we cannot exclude. And this has happened in a lot of the church world. We cannot exclude the person of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. The enablement of God. The power of God. More than an emotion. More than a high energy moment, more than a goosebump, the presence of God equips you and empowers you.
That's right.
Removes and breaks burdens and yokes. We need to be willing and humble enough to say, God, I might prepare it in the natural, but Lord, I know without you I can't do it. I need you, Jesus. I need you. Holy Spirit, anoint me today. The right perspective, the right power. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now we get into this part, the right path. Say the right path. You can call it process, you can call it path, you can call it whatever you want. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says it this way, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. In the Amplified translation, it says it this way, if you look at the screen, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He leads you into victory.
Yes.
Why? And through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance, which I would say the aroma of the knowledge of him. God wants you to win because when you're living his life that he has for you, the John 10:10 life, the quality of life, that's a Zoe God quality of life, not the quality that the world gives you. Not the quality that comes and pray. Listen, praise God for stimulus checks coming to your account. But if you're depending on stimulus checks coming or not coming to your account, you have lowered the bar of what God has for you. I don't care who's president. Cause us a triumph. God wants you to know that he wants you to be a billboard wherever you go of his goodness. Can I get an amen? But thanks be to God who always leads. He leads. One of the things, on a side note, one of the things you'll understand in when it comes to the kingdom of God and even the kingdom of darkness is that the devil pushes, God leads. The devil drives people. He pushes people. Oh, I'll never do that addiction again until they're tempted and the demon shows up to push them. The Holy Spirit doesn't push you. He leads. Elijah didn't drive Elisha. He just tapped him a little bit with the anointing, the mantle, and walked on. Why? Because if the anointing of God, the presence of God, the reality of God is so amazing that if you will not pursue it, you do not deserve it. Too many people are thinking they can be buy a ticket to be a spectator in the things of God, and well, if God will prove to me that he's good, then I'll, and it don't work that way. If you don't pursue him, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph.
Amen.
Say with me, Jesus always leads me in victory.
Jesus always leads me in victory.
Say that again. Say, Jesus always, always leads me into victory. Now, based on what background you came out of, if you came out of the church world in different denominations, that might be a little hard to say because some of us have been taught, but it's not in the Bible. Have been taught, oh, Jesus will put you in some bad spots to get you to suffer. No, as you're leading, you'll deal with battles.
Yeah.
As you're following, you'll deal with battles. But not because of him, but because the enemy's trying to squat on your promised land.
Right.
And don't be nervous about the giants on your promised land. Oh, I wish, wouldn't God just take them all out of the way for me so I can just relax and autopilot and cruise on into there? No. But don't be afraid of those giants in your promised land. In fact, they're doing you a favor. Because not only are you coming out ahead when you beat them, but they're keeping all your crazy relatives out of it. Come on, somebody. Some of you got crazy relatives, don't you? Because you know that... Because you know if there was no giants, everybody'd be there before you got there. You'd walk in and say, there's no room for me. Those giants are keeping them all out. Oh, my goodness. Okay, moving right along. Jesus always leads me in victory. And that path is a path of faith.
Amen.
Now listen to me. We're going to close in a few minutes. But this is one area. And no disrespect to anybody. And if you've been in this boat before, know that you're not alone. Most Christians at a certain phase of their development in life or deal with this. But dealing with a lot of different people, being in ministry in the church world full time for so many years, a lot of people think they're in faith and they're not in faith. A lot of people are missing the understanding of what faith is. They think faith is just I sure hope it will work, and hope's a key element to faith. But they're in hope, they're not in faith. I can look into the eyes, literally, I can look into the eyes of people that are dealing with a battle that come to me for agreement and prayer that are in faith. It's a different look than someone who is in panic mode. If you're in fear, if you're in panic, if you're questioning, if you're upset, if you're stirred up, if you're not in peace, you're not in faith. Now, some preachers out there, and again, I challenge you to challenge everything I say. Because at the end of the day, I don't want you quoting Pastor Greg. I want you quoting the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what is Psalms 119 been established and settled forever in heaven. The Word of God is what goes forth and will not return, Isaiah 55:11. But there'll be other, you'll find other preachers that will say the opposite of what I'm saying. In fact, they'll even make it sound like, oh, you know what, if you put the responsibility on people and their faith and the lack of thereof, then that's wrong. It's up to God. He's all powerful. And God can do anything. And most Christians will be like, yay! And some of you are like, where are you going? Should I pick up a rock? He's talking heresy. But what they misunderstand is the big picture. What they have to understand is that God is all-powerful, but God has also elevated his word above his name, Psalms 119. He will not lie. He will not violate his word. And when he created Adam, he didn't say, let us and Adam have dominion. He said, let them have dominion. He gave Adam and Eve the lease of this earth as you would lease a car. And you can drive that car, wash that car, fill that car up with gas, or charge it up, and then tell people it's your car. But everybody that really knows behind the scene, it's not your car. You're making payments. It belongs to the leasing company. And you know it belongs to the leasing company because one day they're going to send you a nice letter and say, it's time to bring it back. but I like it. We don't care. Buy another one. It belongs to the leasing company. The earth is the Lord's, but he has leased it to Adam, to humanity, who subjugated it to the devil, which means he has submitted himself to the devil, making the devil the spiritual authority in this world. But Jesus came back and restored spiritual authority. For he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, now you go in my name. But he has not restored physical authority yet, because the time, Matthew 24, has not yet come, and only the Father knows, not even the angels in heaven. And so the system is not, God's all powerful. Don't you think everything that happens comes from his hand? And if it must be his will for it to happen, let me help you out. That's stupidity. Because if everything that happens was the will of God, then why do we have courts and prisons? Because if God, if everything happened was God's will, then someone killing somebody, that must have been God's will. So we should encourage them to doing a great job doing the will of God and not put them in prison. Right? Common sense tells you that everything that happens can't be the will of God. And yet the devil uses that with to those who have been victimized in life. They might be attacked, raped, hurt, a bankrupt, whatever. And the devil will whisper in the ear, God doesn't love you. Look what happened to you. If God loved you, you wouldn't have had to deal with that. No, we still have some authority. And the devil is a deceiver. He tries to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. He could even appear as an angel of light. That's why you don't look for voices. You look to the word of God. You look for understanding. Amen. And the Holy Spirit can speak to your spirit as if someone's talking to you. But if you look for voices, you'll get confused. Priority is to look for understanding from the word of God. But the thief's not, he's not going to let you know, I'm coming on Tuesday and I'm going to work through this person. No, he just tries to steal, kill, and destroy, which means he tries to take what already belongs to you. Thieves do not give you what you don't want. Thieves try to take what you have that's of value. So the devil's never going to try to give you COVID. Let me just help you out. But he will try to take your healing that belongs to you by the covenant of the blood of Jesus. Do you see the point? Do you see the difference? And so we have to come to the perspective of the big picture, that Jesus wants us to bring the kingdom of God that's in heaven on earth, because that was the prayer, was it not? Here's how to pray. Thy kingdom come, part of it, this is just part of it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If the kingdom of God and the will of God was always done on the earth, why even ask or pray for it? It would be an automatic expectation. Oh, that's normal. It's because it's not happening unless we do something. Now, this is not, listen to me, I love you, but this does not mean if you're going through a challenge or have been going through a challenge for years that you're a bad person. It means you're a real person. We are all growing, or hopefully we are all growing, and we all will deal with challenges from time to time. Can I get an amen to that? So don't feel bad. But a lot of ministers have taken the position, and that's just not me. A lot of the ministers in the world have taken a position of just trying to comfort and console you, and it's going to be okay. And they let people feel like there's no hope. See, I'm the one to tell you there is hope. You don't have to be defined by the parameters or the boundaries of the enemy that's set up around you. You can get through this. You can go over that. You can get ahead of that. You are not destined. You are not determined to live the life that you have lived if it's not from God. I'd rather give you hope and say, listen, it might not be an overnight journey. See, the arm of the flesh will always try to get stuff immediately. But the process of God is the process of faith and patience. Right. It's not overnight. Well, I'm going to drop some money in the offering bucket, and I didn't get 100-fold by that afternoon. This stuff doesn't work. It won't work for you, Junior. You need to grow up in the things of God a little bit, because it's not an overnight. This is not a scratch off or pull a lever and see God jump through hoops for you. This is the kingdom of God and how he operates. And when you choose to follow the principles of the kingdom, they work. And if they're not working, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means there's something missing in the mix. We got to get people off the emotional thing of, you're telling me I'm a bad, I'm not telling you you're a bad person. I'm telling you you're a real person. You can sit and sulk and looking for sympathy, or you can say, wait a minute, there is a solution here. I can live one day, wake up with victory in every area of my life. Victory on your lips, victory in your thoughts, victory when you take a step, victory in everything you do. Can I get an amen? And I know there's some preachers that disagree with me on them. Say, there is a path. You call it a process, call it what you want. There is a path. Three victories, three keys to winning the fight out of this one verse. But every promise, the Bible tells us the promises of God are yea and amen, which means approved and so be it. But every, listen to me, every promise, this is where we get slipped up. Every promise has a condition. It's not you working to make the miracle. It's you acting to obey the instruction to allow God to come into the miracle situation. It's you, Revelation 3, hearing his voice and opening up and inviting him in. It's you, Martha and Mary. Oh, I believe you can do it. No. He told Martha, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And when Jesus says believe, he just doesn't mean, do you mentally agree and hope it works out that way? Jesus says, if you believe, then when you hear me give you an instruction, you'll obey it. Martha, remove the stone. But Lord, it's been 4 days now and he smells. And Jesus didn't say, yes, he does, or yes, he didn't. Jesus said, didn't I tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory. That's the manifested demonstration of God's presence and power in your situation that cannot be denied, that cannot be ignored, that cannot be explained. I'm tired of praise reports being something that takes somebody 30 seconds to explain away. I'm looking for miracles that a doctor can't explain away. I'm looking for a financial miracle that an accountant can't explain. I'm looking for God to do stuff in your life that the experts scratch their head, because the wisdom of man is still foolishness with God, and his ways are above our ways. And I'm expecting him to do stuff in your life this week that cannot be denied. I call you free in the name of Jesus. I decree that this is a day of freedom. I decree this Sunday, this day, is a spiritual day of freedom. I decree over your life, freedom over your house, over every area of your life, over your body. Some of you better get into this, because the moment moves and you miss out. Don't you wait later on and say, I wish. No. God is a God of moments. I decree over your life, freedom over your thinking. I decree over your life, freedom over your finances. There is no bound. There is no limitation. There is no chain that can hold you back. I decree in the name of Jesus, freedom, the freedom that comes from heaven. But the religious will say, and they did when Jesus talked, but we are children of Abraham. We're not bound to anything. And yet he said, if you only knew what you were bound by. You sit here and say, I'm not bound, and yet you're addicted to drugs. I'm not bound, and yet you turned on pornography last night. I'm not bound, and yet you hate your spouse. I'm not bound, and yet you struggle. You can't even give when God tells you to give. I'm telling you, we have in the church world accepted a low level of living, and we have dressed it up and made it look tantalizing and special and say, oh, this is wonderful, but I'm here to tell you, I don't care where you're at. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm trying to wake you up to who you're called to be. So you rise up, Isaiah 60, verse 1, and say, wait a minute, I don't have to stay here. I don't have to be an alcoholic. I don't have to be an addicted drug addict. I don't have to be jacked up, messed up. I don't have to be tormented. I don't have to live in fear. I call you free in the name of Jesus. Woo, I feel the noise. I call you free in the name of Jesus. Lean into it. Lean into it. Lean into it. I curse and bind every tactic of the devil who calls you to stay. I'm seeing somebody. You're staying up late at night just trying to figure out. I speak the word of God. He gives his beloved sweet sleep. Lay your head on your pillow. He's giving you the victory. He's leading you into victory. Stomp your feet. The devil's under him. If you want to know where he's at, he's under you. I call you free in the name of Jesus. Free! Spirit, soul, and body. Free in every area. Free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, free! Free! Thank God Almighty, free, free and left. Free! free. I wasn't planning on saying this. It's not in my notes, but it's in my spirit. I just got to follow the Holy Ghost. I call you free. I call you free. No more torment. No more negative self-image. You're going to begin to step into the life that belongs to you because of the blood of Jesus. High five two or three people and give them the loudest praise, if you will. Hallelujah! Free! 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 Hallelujah! Free! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Say, I'm free. Some of you need to say it. Just say, I'm free. So whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That means the trap has been broken, busted, never to be used against you again. I feel somebody that you've been under torment. You've broken away from some of the past junk, but the devil torments you that you're going back. I curse that lying demon, and I set you free in the name of Jesus. You will not go back. You are strong in the Lord. Woo, freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Free, free, free. I call your household free. Oh, I'm talking to some woman who's been praying for her kids. I call freedom into your house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the next 30 days, whoever this is, in the next 30 days, they will either get their hearts right or they will move on. I feel this strong in my spirit. Are you listening? And if they want to get right and there's people in their life, and I see who it is, there's people in their life that are leading them astray. You think they're nice because they're polite to you, but they're evil. They're sent by the enemy to destroy them. Listen, in the next 30 days, there will either be a separation of friendship or they will die. God does not treat evil people like he does righteous people or people that are unsaved. It's a whole different thing. There is somebody set out against your son. I don't know who it is. And they are literally trying to not only get him messed up in drugs and alcohol, but get him into prison. I don't know who it is. And you've been praying. You've been interceding. You've been fasting. Who is that? Who is that? Is that you? In the name of Jesus. Step out of the aisle. In the name of Jesus. Every assignment of the devil against your son, I break it, I cancel it, I bring you into a level of freedom. Receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you get nervous when I say someone's going to die. I'm not killing them. Don't look at me. I'm just saying God's going to give them an opportunity for them to get their life right, and if they don't get and separate, they're going to be gone. Maybe the police will get them. I don't know. Would that be easier? All right, Lord, instead of killing Jesus, let them be caught by the police, not your son, but their friend. And then whatever happens, free them and Jesus, leave me out of it. Woo, some of you are like, that's different. I know, get used to different. Get used to different. Faith has a price. That's it. I got to get you to this. Faith has a price. Faith has a price. We don't want to look for sympathy. We look for solutions. What is the solution in this situation, Lord? Faith has a price. Yes. Say, faith has a price.
Faith has a price.
We need to pay the price.
That's right.
But that's works, Pastor. No, you understand. It's your obedience. It's the action.
Yes.
That's the price that needs to be paid. Now, let me show you how this works out according to the Word of God. John chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, verse 31 says, then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him. Jesus said to who? The Jews. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to followers, right? Jesus said to his followers that believed on him, right? If you continue in my word, notice the condition. If you continue. If you continue. Now, if I don't continue, then I don't get the benefit of the promise. But if I continue, then I can expect the benefit of the promise. If you continue in my word, that's the price, then you are my disciples indeed. Years ago in college, I took a lot of computer programming classes. And that's a conditional clause. they might say in English. You write code to work through the logic of what's happening. And if this has happened, then you do this, X, Y, and Z. If this doesn't happen, then you do this. And so when it comes to the computer coding to that line item, that line in code, if the condition is true, then we do this. If this condition is not true, we do the other. God can't force you, but he's warning, he's informing, he's transforming. And he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Notice, and you shall know the truth. Have we ever quoted that verse many times? Have we not? And I shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We use that on people that are lying, hoping they'll tell us the truth. That's not what it's talking about. And you shall know the truth, that's revelation, and that truth produces freedom and destroys the boundaries of the enemy. Amen. But how do I get to that truth? Notice the condition. If you continue in my word. Romans 10 tells us this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. The literal translation means hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes how? By hearing the word of God. Faith comes how? Now, when faith comes and you're hearing it, it goes into your ears and into your mind and informs you. But there's a process in the information where the Holy Spirit can reveal it and give you revelation. That's understanding, Matthew 13. And when I get understanding, and then it goes into my heart. When it goes into my heart, it begins to develop faith. Faith doesn't come because you want it to happen. Faith comes because you have worked the process. All right, let me break it down out of a spiritual thing. Have you ever gone to the gym and saw people in shape? Man, I would like to be in that shape. And we do a few exercises. They do a lot of exercises. We come in once every 6 months. They come in every day. They work the process to be in condition. Do you see that? It's not a one step. It's a process. People think they're generous because they gave once. No, generosity is a rhythm of life. Right? Kindness is not, oh, I was kind to that person yesterday. Yeah, but you've been hateful for 2 years. It's a process. Yeah, I'm going to help my marriage. I'm going to bring her roses. You better be careful because if you've never done anything, you might put her in culture shock. She might look at you with an angry look and say, what have you done now? I mean, you don't know because it's a process. But if you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, if you keep going to the gym, and you keep going to the gym, you don't have to make your muscles grow. You don't have to cause the body fat to disappear. Why? If you keep doing the right thing, the process will take care of itself. Right? See, my challenge is I got people bringing me cakes and pies. I mean, it's their fault. It's their fault. Dear lady brought me a pie in for servicing. What'd you think of the pie? I said, well, you know, I'm not too happy with you. She said, why? I said, it was too good. I ate half the pie in a sitting. All right, let's get back on track. Pay the price. If you continue in my word, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And it's easier to do none of it and just hope somebody can get us through it. And say, oh, I'll just get pastor to pray or somebody pray and that'll fix it. You got to walk it out through faith. Right. We spend hours investigating the problem. See, it's getting quiet. But we don't spend any time reading the word, speaking the word, memorizing the word. Verses on our area. All I have to do in 10 seconds, I can solve most people if they are, oh, I'm believing for X, Y, and Z. They can tell me what they're believing for. And here, let me solve it in 10 seconds. This is rhetorical. Don't respond. But right now, I can tell you where you're at. Are you ready? What's your verse? Yep. Yes. If a verse didn't pop up out of your spirit immediately, you're not in faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. And the human mind and your spirit, if you keep seeing something over and over and over and over, guess what happens? It will become automatic. Yeah. If you're like, I have to go find it, you're not there yet. Yeah. Exactly. Now, there's other areas and ways to tell when you're in faith. But I'm telling you, you can't even get through the door if you haven't spent time in the Word. Yeah. Oh, I try to read the Word, Pastor. I'm just so busy. Yeah, you watched 3 movies yesterday. What are you talking busy? Now, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to give you hope The process works. I'm afraid if I start reading the Bible every day, I might get fanatical. I saw one of those people that are fanatical, and they are weird. No, they were weird before Jesus. And Jesus is working the weirdness out of them, okay? So don't blame them. When we follow Jesus, we get better. He leads us into victory, right? It's a process. What do? Spend time in the Word. Joshua 1 says, morning and night, you figure out the rhythm. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. In fact, I would encourage you to get scriptures. This is very practical. If you need healing, get scriptures on healing. Because faith is specific. Most people don't realize that. They think it's a blanket. Need financial miracle? Get scriptures on finances. Get scriptures, because what are you doing? You are training and developing yourself for the Word of God. And you read it and meditate on it and do it. How long do you do it? I would encourage you to do it every day. Listen to me, until you come to a place of rest on the inside. Now, that doesn't mean that it's done that day. It means you have stepped into the flow of faith. And you know what you're going to have to do the next day? Do it again. And the next day, do it again. Next day, do it again. It'll begin to develop confidence, peace, strength in your life.
Right.
Listen to the Word. Get anointed preaching. Listen to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. It's the powers in the Bible. Folks, if this Bible wasn't real, why do countries try to ban it? This thing is powerful. We walk around more than a historical book. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. They have power. They will transform you. Romans 12:2. They'll transform you. You're like, I don't know what to do. Then don't do anything when you're in a panic mode. Get alone with the Word of God. If Jesus had to spend time, get alone with the Father and spend time with Him, why do we think that? See, we'll spend 2 minutes with God and we take years to get problems fixed. Jesus spent hours in relationship with the Father and the Word. And guess what? It would take moments to get things solved.
Yeah.
We're spending so much energy on the physical side of our efforts instead of the simple obedience of what He shows you to do. So what do? The Bible tells us in the Amplified Translation, and let the peace of God, the soul harmony comes from God. Act as an umpire and settle with finality every question that arises in your mind in that peaceful state. Get into the peace of God through the Word.
Yes.
Right? Don't be anxious for anything, but in all things, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, the Bible says. And the peace of God that exceeds your understanding will guard your heart, soul, and mind. I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Amen.
Not because you feel it, because you get the revelation of it. And that doesn't come because, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. You're a preacher. Well, thank you for noticing. But that's not the reason, because there's a lot of preachers that are dried up. There's a lot of preachers that are struggling. Why? Because life doesn't come from me doing what God's called me to do. It's coming from me and my relationship with the Lord. And I don't read the Bible looking for messages. I read the Bible. I learned this from my dad. I read it looking for life. Because if it becomes just about sermons and messages, it becomes a tool of the trade. And it can't be. It's the bread of life. It's the bread of life. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. It's the bread of life. If we spend 10 hours watching garbage and 5 minutes in the Word, don't feel bad if you don't have faith. It's not you. It's the process you're in. Change the process and watch your identity on who you're called to be in God. Pay the price.
Right.
Pay the price.
Yeah.
I just need a little bit. Well, you still need to pay the price if you expect God. Well, I'm just hoping He does it, because I know He's done it for other people. Pay the price.
Yeah.
Pay the price. Any other way, when you try to get around the Word of God and Jesus, you know what happens? You might get it some way, but those people usually don't keep it. And what they can keep, they're overwhelmed by it. But God will bless you. The Bible says He will bless you and add no sorrow to it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you can have, some people are struggling with 3 employees. You can have 300 employees and rest at night and lay your head on the pillow and just sleep nicely. No stress, no worries. When you do it God's way. You do it your way, you're going to be freaking out because you can't figure out how to budget your own checkbook. What's all these red numbers mean? Don't worry about it. How do we pay the price? Get in the Word. Meditate on the Word. I mean, January is usually a time people saturate, if you haven't, in their prayers and their fasting and worship. It just works. It's not legalism. It just works. It just works. I want to encourage you as we close. It's just not perspective. You need the right perspective. You need to understand the power, but you need to understand the promise, the power of the path. Pay the price. Get into the Word. Meditate on it day and night. You'll be strong. You'll be courageous. You'll begin to see your world differently. You'll begin to see situations. Praise God for the moments that some people might say something and it clicks. You're like, oh, I didn't see it that way. But all of a sudden, you begin to see what God can do in a mighty way. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, let this prayer, it's a prayer of salvation. Let's keep it as quiet as we can. I don't want to distract anybody. If you're not right with God, only you can answer that. Is Jesus real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? If not, you can. The Bible tells us it's believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, Romans tells. Let's pray this prayer together. If you do not know him, let it come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me. Say, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you will.